and welcome to the second episode of The Spoops. That's right, this is the best place on the internet to find all the conglomerations of things that are cute and scary. My name is Josh.
And my name is Bradley.
And welcome as we begin our adventure in trying to do this podcast again.
And do it right this time.
Do it right this time. And hey, you know what? By the time that you're listening to this episode, we have a website. We have a domain, which is thespoopspod.com. Very exciting. The website, beautifully designed by a website editor. I'm not saying its name until they pay me money.
Hopefully by this point, we'll also have a couple other things under the way, like a producer. But, you know, our other brother-in-law has been definitely getting the hard knocks of life thrown at him.
He has not been living a spooky life. He's just been living a straight-out spooky life. Last time he couldn't be with us because he was his cast removed.
Yep.
Today he can't be with us because of an unfortunate incident in his family. And he also broke his collarbone in 4 different places.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you know the story about this, but the story behind the collarbone break is it was 2 in the morning, and he didn't want dry cereal, so him and a buddy went to run to Country Fair, which is a gas station where we're from, open 24/7.
Oh, wait, Country Fair isn't a universal chain, is it?
Not always, no.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so, yeah, he goes, and his buddy starts running. He's like, I'm going to chase after. I'm going to win this race. And no, what he won was a broken collarbone because he tripped over his feet and crashed.
And you know, if you're going to get a horrific injury like that, part of you hopes it's for something cool.
Yeah, no, apparently, according to the mutual friend that's seen this all happen, he kind of just bounced in the Pizza Hut parking lot across from Country Fair. Now, the important thing to note about this is he rotated his arm, was like, yeah, no, something doesn't feel right. They went, got milk, came back to the house, and then he went to the hospital.
You know, I was going to ask how that happened. Like, did he just lay there and then go, but no, he went and finished the run.
Yeah, he finished the run, got the milk, came back, and then he was like, you know, something don't feel right. And
I just appreciate that he did that run for his wife before he spent 12 hours in the emergency room. She could wake up, get herself a bowl full of cereal while her husband had broken himself a second time.
So, yeah. No. Yeah.
So exciting things coming along, like a producer.
Yeah. Promotion that you were talking about as we were driving out and about. Do we want to plug that now, later?
Yeah, no, we would. To help grow the Spoops podcast, what we want to do is we want you guys to host some watch parties. So introduce the Spoops to friends, to family. And if you do it and you get more than 4 people involved, we will personally record for you a private intro from us.
Exactly. So, yeah, let us know. We'll definitely do that. But speaking of intro, I think it's time we kick this episode off. So, with honey and you're making out when the phone rings, you answer it and the voice is,
what are you doing with my daughter?
You tell your girl and she say,
my dad is dead.
Then who was phone?
Yes, that's right. So this week's theme, video games? This week's theme is video games. So we've got some great finds. And then for our phenomena, it's something that has inspired lots of video games, including an antagonist from the Silent Hill series. That's fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I was wrong. Yeah, no, I'm there. I'm there with you now.
Mm-hmm. Heavily featured in Silent Hill 3 and 1.
Ooh.
Okay, maybe just 3. I never played the Silent Hill games.
Yeah.
I should just out myself now as a phony. And this week's drink is Green Edition Red Bull.
And you'll see why this green in particular matches our final story.
Yes. Oh, and just wait till you get to the final story. We came up with something clever.
And by we, you mean AI.
I mean Bing. Thank you, Bing. You are an endless joy to my life. All right.
Let's get this cracking.
Ooh,
gonna laugh if it just spewed all over the microphone.
That was it. That was we were done. That was it for the second episode.
Why does it smell like strawberries? Like strawberry field. It's dragon fruit, artificially flavored.
Yeah, but it's got grass notes, my dude. This is like grass. It's good grass, but it's like grass.
That is fair.
It's like grass and strawberries had a baby.
Yeah, it tastes like I licked a strawberry field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A pleasant strawberry field. You need to go there.
Okay, so... Ooh. All right, Bradley, do you want to get us started off with our first story here?
Absolutely. So the first story we have here is Three More Days. Now, before we get into this, I guess we should credit where all these come from, because people don't like when you just rip off their material.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. So we took this off the Troll Pasta wiki, which means that we can say it as long as we attribute where we got it from, and any authors if stated. No author stated. So
yeah, thank you, Troll Pasta.
Thank you, Troll Pasta.
So Three More Days. By now, you've already heard about the Mayan calendar, how the world is to be ended on December 21st. By now, people have either forgotten or merely lost any belief this would actually happen. The date was December 18th. Being a Let's Player, I decided to be funny to play a 30-minute game, mine being Pac-Man Arrangement, and starting off each of the three episodes with Dawn of the First Day, Dawn of the Second Day, and Dawn of the Final Day, from The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. Due to not exactly being fond of downloading things, me being on my third computer and all, I decided to pop in Majora's Mask and record with my capture card. My copy didn't seem to work no matter what I did. I turned off my system, tried again, gave the cartridge a blowjob, as 10FTW like to call it. It even got to the point where I got some alcohol and Q-tips to clean it by hand. Nothing was working. Eventually, I decided the best choice was to replace the old game with a new one. When I went to the local game store, though, all the copies were sold out. With a hatred for their business and prices, I decided to go to GameStop. Ooh. Not only was I desperate to have this for the video, my collection was nothing without Majora's Mask. It wasn't a game I could just ignore. Mm. To my misfortune, GameStop had sold their last copy. Christmas was right around the corner. Finally, I had one store left, another local game store, this one smaller and much dirtier. I never went to this store anymore after getting a broken copy of Smash Brothers Melee. But then again, desperate times call for desperate measures. To my luck, they had one copy of Majora's Mask left. It was covered in Sharpie marks, which seemed to spell things like GO and DON'T DO IT. I took this as a joke, though, ever since the whole Ben drowned creepypasta, people around town decided it was funny to write messages on Zelda games and name the files things like Steve Burned or Don't Play This. As I got home, I instantly got my game going, just as I had expected. The files spelled the words Three More Days. I laughed to myself, surprised somebody would waste a perfectly good Zelda game just to make this joke. Clearly, they were more mature and played Call of Duty or something. Each file was moderately far. Far enough, at least, that I could use the Song of Time and Song of Double Time to get my three scenes. I started three up and began playing. Something strange happened, though. Couldn't believe what I was seeing. This was a village, that was for sure, but it wasn't Clocktown. In fact, it wasn't part of this game at all. If I had to assume, this looked like a recolor of Kakariko Village from Ocarina of Time. I don't know if this was some kind of hack or a well-hidden cheat by Nintendo that the original owner happened to have found. Either way, I knew the Song of Time would get me out and back to Clocktown. As I pressed down on the C-pad, Link pulled out his Deku horns. I didn't notice at first, but it didn't take long until I finally realized that Human Link just pulled them out rather than his ocarina. I played the song only to be surprised when it made a Zora guitar sound. It was a joke, wasn't it? Some skilled hacker just did this for a quick laugh. It was like the whole Super Mario 64 creepypasta. Some guy thought it would be funny to sell a hacked creepy Majora's Mask cartridge at a shady store. Where I arrived made me realize this wasn't some kind of Nintendo cheat. Peach's Castle Grounds, Super Mario 64, in the middle of the ground was a Zelda-style sign which read, "Triforce, in 3 days, Hyrule won't be the only thing destroyed. Soon, the world will be in pieces. Triforce." I turned the game off. I couldn't sleep that night. What did this mean? I knew it was a hack, but it seemed so real. Like the cartridge was haunted. It wasn't until the next morning that I decided to try again with my recording. 2 more days, this time. The files changing name wasn't something I could see someone hacking. But it wasn't enough to scare me. Unlike yesterday, apparently.
But we were up all night.
Yeah. So I started the game up and was instantly thrown into what seemed like Mario Kart track. Couldn't remember which one, maybe Luigi Raceway or something. This couldn't be happening. No hacker had the time and patience to put not one, but 3 foreign levels into this game. I looked up and noticed something new, though. The moon didn't have the menacing face on it. It looked realistic, almost beyond Nintendo 64's graphical capabilities. I couldn't take it. Clearly, this cartridge wasn't good for playing, so I put it on my table and left it there. I'd sell it back later. 2 days passed, December 21st, 2012. My father came into the room and noticed it laying there, unplayed, as I performed more assassinations in Assassin's Creed 3. "Aren't you going to play the game I bought for you?" My response was almost instant, slightly shaky. "I think it was hacked." "Put it in! Show me the game! If it doesn't work, I'll take it back to the store!" Put it in as instructed. The file said, "It's time!" We agreed it could have been there the whole time, and I started it up. There it was, in Clock Town. The quick-paced music of the third day eventually ran normally. He left the room. I was stuck with the game as he left, though I heard something very faint. Cries of, "Help me!" and "Anything but that!" I went up to a carpenter and pressed A. Everything went black from there. Not just the game, I mean everything. I remember a sound that wasn't normal, similar to the frequency of one from Lavender Town, in fact. That's all I remember. 2 long black years until I woke up in a hospital. They said that a knife left me unconscious. But the strange thing was, all the fingerprints were mine.
I left you unconscious? You just, like, took a knife and you went, bonk, with the handle, not with the sharp part. That's what I was trying to illustrate there.
The bonk,
And then you left yourself in a coma for 2 years? Okay, so there's lots of reasons that I picked this, okay? It was teetering on the too long to include section, but there were a couple of very important things that saved it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one, how does the December 21st, 2012 thing pay off?
It doesn't.
It's like, because the world ending is him, but he woke up?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I think it's just thrown in as a creepy
start.
Creepy, a creepy kind of like hook time, like, ooh.
But it never goes anywhere.
No.
Sometimes I'm worried. We do this show, and maybe we're not constructive. Maybe sometimes we're destructive, and we don't really give people the most helpful tips. Here's a writing tip for you. If you're going to have a note, have it pay off.
Now, I will say, so I'm going to come at this from an IT standpoint. Totally, hackers have time to do whatever the heck they want to.
They're hackers.
They're hackers. That's kind of, like, putting 3 random levels in a game, whatever, man. Like, it might take them a bit, but it's going to happen if that's what they really, really want to do.
I'm also in love with this guy's hatred of GameStop.
Yes, I mean, I can relate, but, you know.
It also, what GameStop on Earth in 2012 has copies of N64 games?
Yeah, no, none.
In 2012, they have Wii games and, like, Wii U games.
And maybe some Game Boy, DS,
you know. Yeah, they have a little locked shelf where it's buy three for a dollar, please take them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the dad just randomly popping up.
Yeah, right at the very end. That was charming.
I'm confused because he's talking about how the dad bought the game, but the dad wasn't present when we talked about going to the three different game stores.
Well, I guess the dad, it was a background dad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, your imaginary dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the other thing that also really threw me for a loop here. I love all of his references to old video games. He's, like, really trying to stab at your nostalgia sense.
Yeah.
Right? But, my dude, if you bought a broken copy of Super Smash Melee, which was on the GameCube, that's on you. Because that's a disc, and either the disc was broken in half or super scratched, both of which are well within your ability to double-check.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, and I get, especially nowadays, they keep all the games, you know, behind shelf. Like, you walk up with the case, you want to give you the disc. Yeah. But, you know, you pop that bad boy open before you even leave the counter. Pop it out. You look at it.
What person doesn't check on a used game?
Yeah, you know, it's like the people that get mad when they get home and their fast food order's wrong. It's like, no, you check that in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
If you don't and it's wrong when you get home, that's on you.
And it's just, like, the language of broken. It's like, okay, fine. You came home and the disc was broken in half. You're a dumb person.
Yeah. Now, I will say, like, if it was region locked.
That's still not broken.
No, that's still not broken. That's just region locked. And again, that's on you for not checking.
Yeah. Okay. And I just, I love that these stories about video games, people don't know how to make them creepy. It is, they are dancing on a field of uncanny and weird, but to them, uncanny and weird is creepy, right?
So
it's like, oh, this is the castle from N64, and this is a Mario level. Those don't belong in this game. Spooky.
But yeah, you know, yet you have so many emulated games that just do that anyways.
Yeah, maybe it's because we live in the now time that I don't think that's as scary as... Okay, I'm imagining myself, I'm a younger kid, I have a Let's Play channel. By the way, no person who has a Let's Play channel would not consider this a veritable goldmine of content.
Oh yeah, they'd be like, look at this weird game.
Look at this spooky game, guys. You get millions of views.
Did they have capture cards back in 2012?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Szymanski's had a gaming channel that they were trying to start off, and they recorded 2 episodes.
So, after this long story, I'm going to give it a 1. A spoopy. Yeah.
Okay, so out of our scoring index of 1 to 5, going from spoopy to spoopy. Uh-oh.
2 spoops for me.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name's Josh, and I forget my own name sometimes. So this week, we're going with a 4 index scale of spoops, 2 spoops, spooky, and 2 spooks for me. See, it works because the for me should fit in there.
Yeah.
So you're giving a 1 out of 4.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 1. I'm sorry. There's nothing. There's maybe dad showing up. That was kind of creepy. Like, play this game I bought you.
See, it's like this kid took every spooky, creepy story that he... creepy video game story, and he just put it all in the blender and then assumed when he poured it out that it would... some of the portion that he would pour out would be spooky. Like the Lavender Town frequency and stuff like that.
Which in and of itself is kind of creepy.
Yeah, not really, but yeah, so I'm gonna give it a 1 out of 4. Yeah, I can't give it more. But I feel bad because the last episode, I think the highest we ever got was a spooky, and that was from me. So today, Bradley, I'm here to tell you a story that will chill you to your bone.
Lay it on me.
This is definitely a too spooky for me story, okay? And that is the story of the Bunny Man. Now, have you ever heard the story of the Bunny Man?
No, I have not heard the story of the Bunny
Man. What?
No.
How?
My cryptid knowledge is bare none.
This isn't a cryptid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. No, this is folklore, my dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never okay. heard of them. Well, I mean, prepping for the episode, but...
Right. Okay. So, let me give you my context for this finding this story, okay? Which is, I went to a... haunted house.
Okay.
And there was a man with an axe dressed in a bunny suit. And I said, one of these things is not like the other. So I was asking around, why is there just a dude in a bunny outfit? And he was like, he's the Virginia Bunny Man. So I had to go home and I had to Google the Virginia Bunny Man because nobody could actually tell me who the Virginia Bunny Man was. But apparently there were two horror movies where he was like the killer. But okay. Clinton, Virginia. All right. There was an insane asylum in this small town. Okay? Now, the people...
There always is.
In this town, were not happy that their neighbors...
Were crazy.
Were an insane asylum. Not great for welcoming people to the neighborhood. West Virginia is currently paying people $10,000 to go move to West Virginia right now. So I can imagine Virginia very much inside the same boat. They're trying to get tourists and guests in.
Yeah.
And the insane asylum kind of casting a shadow over the vacation vibe.
Yeah, right? No. Yeah, Virginia is for lovers and crazy people.
Crazy in love. So they decide, they all band together and they say, insane asylum's gotta go, right? So... They pack them all up in buses, and they start shipping off the patients, right? Well, one of the things that you're going to notice about this story is nobody can agree on the details. That's what makes it a good urban legend.
Yeah.
Is that it varies, right? So some say that it was this big exodus of people and that he escaped out of the bus. Some say that he just escaped for the fun of it, right?
Okay.
But his name was Douglas Griffin.
Strong name.
Strong name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Griffin.
Yeah.
Because it's certainly not Douglas.
No.
No. So the word on the street was that he had murdered his whole family on Easter. Okay? And this is why he was in the insane asylum. Okay?
Okay.
Or maybe he didn't. I don't know. No one can agree on Douglas Griffin. But anyway, they say Douglas Griffin escaped, and some people are wandering around in the town. They get to this covered, it's like a bridge that pushes through like a hill, right? So it's like one of those trolley lines. So it's got like this big hill, kind of not like big hill, but it's like the trolley line goes up a fair distance, and then they made like a road go through it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a small little tunnel. Well, some people are walking around the area, and they see rabbits hanging around this bridge, okay?
Yeah.
And they're skinned and half eaten. So, they're just little rabbit giblets hanging from the trees, right? So, people start reporting this, and they're like, oh, do you think it's the crazy person? So... Either people got together a big crowd to hunt Douglas Griffin, and while he was running away, he got hit by a train, and the last thing they ever heard was a majestic laugh that echoed through the forest, or they never went looking for him, and then two kids disappeared around the bridge, only to be found a couple of days later, hanging, skinned, from the trees. Hence why they call the area the Bunny Man Bridge.
Ah.
So either real crazy person is killing people or his angry ghost.
Is killing people.
Yes. Now, as you can tell, there's some variance to the story, right?
Yeah.
But real story, people got so tired. One person who worked inside of the... who worked for the county, got so tired Brian Conley, that was his name. My source for this story is from the Clinton local government website. It is from their website because he got so tired of people calling in to ask about the Bunny Man that he did research and then posted this very long article about the historical accuracy of the Bunny Man. Okay? So, fun fact, there was never an insane asylum in there, right? So you can cross that off on the factual accuracy. But what he did find was in the 1970s that people were being accosted by a man in a bunny outfit. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, 1970. Air Force Cadet Robert Bennett is in the car with his fiance, and they go out to Bunny Man Bridge, where, assumedly, they're going to do things...
Do a little necking.
Unsupervised from people, right? So they go out inside of the woods, okay? And they see a man in a white rabbit outfit, and he says, "You're on private property, and I have your tag number," right? And you see that, and you're like, okay, well, I guess it's time for me to leave. We got caught. And then he escalates things by throwing an axe at the car that bounces off of it while they're running away. So it went from, "I'm within my legal right to ask you to leave," to, "I just committed a criminal offense by attempted homicide." Okay?
Don't forget this last part, reading this. Which then he apparently
skipped into the woods!
So he yells, chucks hatchet, skips into the woods.
"Hey kids, no necking here!" La, 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 la. Yeah, okay. Great vibes, great vibes, right? Well, the rabbit reappears, right? a man, okay. In the same area, a man is... They build this new house, okay? So they build this new house, and then the rabbit man comes to this new house, and the homeowner is notified when he hears a thunking outside, okay? And he looks out the window, and he sees a man in a rabbit outfit chopping away on the support beam to his awning. Okay, so it's like a thick beam like this, and he's over there with an axe, and he's like, "You built this on private property," okay? So the man goes back inside, and he retrieves his gun, at which point the man decided to book it. No skipping this time, he just decided to run. Okay. There was another incident where he heaved a hatchet through the window of a car that was just sitting out inside of the driveway. And then he accosted a security guard, and he does the same deal where he's chopping on the support beam, right? And then Phillips said to the rabbit, he told him as he whacked 8 gashes into the pole, "If you don't get out of here, I'm going to bust your head." At which point Phillips said that he walked back to his car to get his handgun, but the rabbit man, carrying a long-handled axe, ran off into the woods. Yes, and... this came from research.fairfaxcounty.gov/localhistory/bunnyman. Fairfax, Virginia, I love you. Okay. I'm so sorry that this became such a problem that real government dollars got dedicated to researching this. But yes, now this is the story of a man who cares deeply about property lines that people have forgotten and will do anything that involves him not getting shot at.
So we're talking about a man that apparently has a sixth sense for guns.
Well, yeah.
Well,
the other guy ran back inside, I'm sure. I'm sure he's not going to keep whacking on the support. He lives in Virginia. It's like, I feel bad for the Bunny Man if he ever came to my dad's house. He would be like whacking on a pole, and then he'd just hear the sound of a shotgun cocking, and then he wouldn't even get a chance to run. There'd just be a laser pointer in the yard.
You know, if I'm being fair, though, real story, scarier than folklore.
Yeah.
Because the folklore is like, he killed his family, then went into crazy asylum, and then after that, 8 rabbits.
And maybe kids?
And yeah, maybe killed 2 kids-ish, or got hit by a train. No one knows.
Yeah. But you'll always know him from his majestic laugh.
So, yeah, But real guy, just like property damage and a very...
An assault.
Property damage, assault, and just really hated people in cars.
His property, dang it. No necking in his neck of the woods.
Oh, man.
You would think it would be really easy to find the bunny man because you just find the person who owns the property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whose family used to... Because, like, that's what I'm thinking, like, this is, like, some, like, person whose family used to own this, but, like, the state, like, kind of, you know, somehow got them out of it and is now, like, or reselling, repurposing.
Foreclosed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had property and it got foreclosed. Yeah. You would think personal vendetta, but no, yeah. No one's ever brought the bunny man into justice. But what I do appreciate about the bunny man is that... I know his weakness, and his weakness is the threat of guns.
Yes.
Which is better than clowns, because clowns still don't know their weakness. except for...
Salt shot.
Except for all the times that the police officers came to find the clowns and they just ran into the woods. That was an overwhelming thing, was that... Imagine being a police officer working that day, and you're just like...
Time to go after the clowns.
Adam 9, there is a masked individual trying to lure kids into the woods. And you're like, okay, cool. So it's just a pedophile. I'm going to go out to the woods and go find a masked pedophile. Fun day for me. Goes into the woods and he's chasing a clown. He's chasing a clown through the woods. Fun day.
Okay, so Bunny Man, I think I'm gonna give this a 4 because, like, real lives were in danger, and
yeah.
Like, honestly, like, I hear a thonking sound and I look out at my window and I see a Bunny Man with an axe.
Oh, it's funny to talk about it. If it happened here and Katie was like, "What's that sound?" and I looked out and I saw a man in a bunny outfit
with an axe
beating the side of my house for 100% sure. That is all I'm talking about for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and, you know, kudos for the people that are like, I'm grabbing my gun, because I'd be like...
Yeah, no.
Hey!
No, I mean...
Hadley, what is it? Hey!
Bunny Man! Oh. And I would see him, and I'd maybe have enough, like, sentence to say, Bunny Man, leave, please, or I will go get my gun. At which point the bunny man would watch me load my gun, which I keep unloaded, and I have to, like, root around inside of storage to go get out, and after 9 hours, and then I finally rack the slide, and then he would go, so,
you see, yeah. I'm just thinking, like, dark, stormy night, lightning flash, there's bunny man, I'm passing out, I'm done.
Bam! Thwack! You're on private property! I'm sorry, I only rent here! Thwack! Talk to my landlord! Womp! Which works out great for me, because my landlord lives right next door, so I could just be like, talk to him!
So yeah, 4.
Yeah, 4. Yeah,
too spook for me.
100%. I'm sorry that this is the first story to finally get rated a 4 out of 4, but if I saw a man... If Katie and I were in the woods, and I was... enjoying time with my wife, doing what married couples do, which is to say, eating Hardee's on the side of the road, and a man attacked me with an axe, also still, for sure, 100, I could be driving away, and I could only scratch my car, that's still, I'm calling off work the next day.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm moving.
I'm going to someplace else.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm moving. I am getting, that road will never be traveled on again.
I'm traveling to Portland, where I don't think any crazy people live. Oh, wait, no, sorry, never mind. That's Portland. They'll beat you to death for driving in the bike lane.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Gaform 3 of 3er.
Yes.
Do we actually have the translations for Marathi and the Irish?
No.
Okay, I know that the Marfi is pretty close to the English translation, and I think I might have the Irish. So I should be fine. We should be good. But apologies, these are not native languages. Going to be awful. So yeah, Gafor Mithri over, or game over with numbers. So, I was browsing the internet for a game, because I was bored. And I came across an interesting game. It was called... .exe.
Which, I'm so sorry. But that's just silence, right? So that's... The person designed a game to be called... Executable.
Which worked, because apparently to this person, it had an interesting title. And I downloaded it. So after I downloaded it and started playing, the menu came up. But there was no title. There was only one option, and it was Stafurt. Or start with a four in it. I clicked it, and it started loading. The loading was kind of like Minecraft's with the building textures.
The Lara Croft Minecraft game. Minecraft.
Oh. Okay. The loading was kind of like Minecraft's, with the building textures messages. But at one instance I saw something, and I swear it said this. Loading the 3/4, or death with the 3 and a 4. This shocked me, but I thought it was a joke put in by the maker of the game, and I ignored it. Finally loaded, and it was an FPS, or first-person shooter in layman's terms. And I was in a city. But it looked like it suffered an attack. The city's cars were blown up, and there was no one there. It was a cloudy day, and it felt weird being there. Finally, I saw a figure in the distance. It was tall, and it was all in black. I felt uncomfortable because it looked like it was staring at me. Then I looked in the opposite direction, and it looked the same. Then I turned back, and I crapped my pants. The figure was right up at me, staring at me. That was the thing. It was all black, and when it picked me up and looked at me, I was scared at this point. And then it lifted its arm and threw a fist at me. Right when it was going to hit me, the screen went black. Then a message came up, and it said, "Nice, you beat the game." I was having a WTF, or what the freak moment for a minute, because I died, or unless it wanted me to? Another message came up. It said, "Now, look at this." What I saw was disturbing. It was a person from World War II, probably American, and his head was decapitated, and across the room from his body. I almost felt sick. Right at that moment, the most disturbing scream was played, and it sounded like he was in pain. Really. The sound was so loud that it almost destroyed my speakers. Finally, the window closed, and the Windows message came up, and it said one thing, and that was simple. Gafor Mithri, Overthreer.
What a charming little story. At least something scary happened in this one.
Yeah, no, honestly, like... Yeah, the character kind of doing the jump scare when you look one way and turn back and it's mm-hmm. there. But again, you know, we were talking about this last week, how they get perspective wrong constantly in these stories. And you can tell this when it goes, the figure was right up at me, staring at me. That was the thing. It was all black. And then it picked me up.
Turn me around. Set my feet on solid ground. I know the master. I know the savior. I thank God.
Sorry. You're good. Anyways, so.
Apologize.
So, picked me up. And then it lifted its arm and threw a fist at me.
Yeah.
So, are we talking like picked up like this, like a
weapon? I'm assuming he's got, like, the back of the scruff of the neck, and then he's like, ha-ha!
And then are we to assume that he was playing as the pictured World War II person who got his head punched clean off?
Punched clean right off!
Is that the assumption we're to make here?
And, you know, there's that legend that If you got decapitated by a swordsman compared to an axe, and like that the medieval times that you people would want to be decapitated by a sword compared to an axe because the cut was so much cleaner.
Yeah.
That the human head continued to live, would like respond to questions via blinking and stuff for a time after. Clearly, the man got punched so hard that it severed his head, but left enough like air up there to go screaming.
Either severed, or I'm thinking like Mortal Kombat, head and spine popped out with lungs.
Right, yeah, with the lungs.
Yeah, because the lungs were attached. Ah! Until you just see the lungs just slowly deflate.
Right, Dude, that's messed up. You need to send that into Mortal Kombat for the next game. They'll pay. Like, there's only so many ways that you can watch somebody get, like, vivisected these days. I thought they tapped it. The other thing that I love about this is that this person who's playing this game has way more patience than most people. If I was playing a game, and if within the first, like, 3 minutes it was not instantly clear to me what the goal and objective is...
You're quitting.
I'm uninstalling.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
How long was he just wandering around this destroyed city where it felt like you shouldn't be?
Also, like, he's talking about this, and all I can think of is, like, Nuketown from any Call of Duty.
Right, yeah.
It's like, he's like, the city was destroyed, and it's like, that's most FPS maps.
It's also...
War.
It's also, all these stories are written by kids whose, like, main, like, experience is, like, other video games, so, like... They're always, like, referencing and comparing things to other video games where it's like, it was like Minecraft, or it's like this.
Yeah.
Also, for the love of Pete, if you're going to try to write a scary story, do not at any point replace letters...
With numbers?
With numbers! That's just dumb!
Yeah.
It's not scary! It's just trolly.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, Trollpasta Wiki does have fake scary stories written on it to go, like, make fun of creepypastas, but we're not in that section. We're in the these people wrote serious stories section.
Yeah. Now, like you said, it did have that kind of scary jump scare, so I will give it a 2.
I'll give it a 2.
This
seems fair.
Yeah, this will get a 2 from me.
Okay. Now, this one is called Account Deleted, which is a new rare subsection of video game horror, which is Roblox horror.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Roblox?
No, I've watched people play Roblox. I just haven't hopped down that toddler hole yet.
That toddler hole? Yeah, I'm still trying to imagine anything scary happening in Roblox.
Again, a lot of things are scary to kindergartners.
Fair enough. So, Account Deleted. One day.
Which, sorry.
Yeah.
That in and of itself, terrifying. Like,
oh no, my skins.
But I mean, like, in like adult world, your account gets deleted, like... Hopefully you have backups, or you're going to have an awful day. So, interesting premise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Watch how it doesn't pay off. Okay. Okay. One day, I was playing Roblox, and it was about a week before New Year's Eve. I was playing one of Roblox Myths games, Look Behind You, by Rust_010. Rust hadn't updated a game in a while, so... I expected bugs. Even though these were maximum one-player servers, when I joined, someone was in the server with me. When a game adds fake players, they show up in the tab, but not when you hit escape. This player was in the escape player list, and I just thought maybe the server bugged to let one person in. After the radio played, the message about locking your doors, windows, turning off your lights, and ignoring phone calls, I saw it. A dark figure with the name Error_code353. Their character was bugging out, as if they were using a hack client, but I ignored it. The only thing it said in chat were in Irish or in Marithi. Which the first message was...
It's technically... Sierra Afa Viso Echo Mia Echo.
Awesome, thank you, Bradley. Look at that, he did good research on this. Thank you. Which translated to Sierra Alpha Victor Echo Mike Echo. I remember my friend teaching me that weird pilot code, where you take the first letter of each word. After two translations, the message read, "Save me." After the thing said this, my Roblox started to lag. A-L-O-T. I couldn't move. I felt at least 2 frames per second. I decided to join a new server. But they were still in it! I decided to join a different game. I wasn't up for this bullshit asterisk. I joined a game called Strucid. It's a rip-off Fortnite. But they joined! Strucid, it changes your character to Rothro. But when they spawned in on top of me. Their character hadn't been changed. Apparently nobody else could see this player. And when they spawned, they said,
Ne fa don.
I realized it was Irish. And I've been teaching myself Irish. So I got Google Translate and translated it. Don't leave me. I was getting annoyed. So I just didn't play Roblox for a bit. Bum, bum, bum. When I got back on the next day, I realized I had been logged out and logged back in with my email, but my account's name had been changed from Crystal Cyanide to The Cyanide. In case you didn't know, you can't put spaces in your username. I was freaking out, but then I refreshed the page and everything was normal again. I reported the bug to Roblox via email, and then about in an hour, the person was gone. Didn't join my game anymore. About 10 minutes before emailing Roblox, I looked up the player in existing accounts, but there were no matches available for error_code353. This means that the account never existed. It was never an account. About 6 days later, it's New Year's. I played a game called... And the game was playing an 18-plus sound effect. Then I got disconnected. Then the message said, "You've been kicked from the game." It was the scariest part of my life! Sorry, no exclamation point. Let me try that read again. That was the scariest part of my life. I'm going to ask you a question that I love to ask a lot here on The Spoops, but what spooky happened? He got griefed? He then got griefed.
I'm still trying to figure out what the heck's going on at the end.
Yeah, the end doesn't
the
seem
the game
connected.
Was playing an 18-plus sound effect, then I got disconnected.
18-plus sound effect, so we have to assume it was naughty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got disconnected, and then it said that he got kicked. Almost as if he joined a Roblox game, which somebody was hosting something that they shouldn't and didn't want people to report it, so they booted him from the game. And when asked the reason for why they were booting, they just went, ? So if we tally it up and we look at the total number of supernatural occurrences in this story...
0?
No. His username got changed with one with a space. So one space character... is the whole supernatural tangent that this creepy thing is hanging on.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got griefed by a person playing a horror video game, and then he got irritated. He didn't even say he was scared. He just got irritated and stopped playing Fortnite.
Also, can we...
I'm sorry, Roblox.
Can we also reflect on the fact that this is either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day this is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Because the week before New Year's Eve... is Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, depending on... Because he said it's about a week. So we're looking Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. This man gets griefed on.
Yeah.
Logs out. Goes in the next day.
Goes on.
His account's screwy for 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then he reports it to Roblox, and then Roblox was like, "We're sorry." There you go. We're done. You're good. Here's your account back. Account never deleted.
No.
I don't know why they called account deleted if it was never deleted. And then?
Well, the error code 353.
But it was never an account.
Yeah.
It didn't get deleted. It never existed. The scariest part of the game was that he got booted while he was trying to go into a private server, which somebody kicked him out of because they were playing 18 plus sound effects. This is a master lesson in how to dance around the spooky, which is the name of my new album. Dancing Around the Spooky.
This is definitely a one for me. It's more confusing. Man,
nothing happened.
No. No, at least in the last video game, something happened.
Something you could remotely call horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't even think this is a fictional story. I think this actually happened to the kid.
Yeah.
And then he was trying to pass it off as something actually scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he actually got freaked out about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, probably more so freaked out that he almost lost his account.
No! That his account got changed. The username got changed.
That's fair.
Okay. So, we're going to end this podcast in kind of a new way. So before we do that, let's go ahead and send people to all the various spots that they can find us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So go to Facebook where you can find us there. I'm just going to say, if you're the first person to comment on our Facebook page,
we could give them a chance to do an intro read for the...
Oh, that's dope as heck. Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
So if first person to read will get to do an intro read of the Who Was Phone for us, and we will play that at the start of a podcast. And then if you go to thespoopspod.com, you will see a beautiful website made by a beautiful web editor, which if they pay me money, I'll tell you who it was.
Yeah.
Which, again, our first ad, I need it to be from them.
Yeah.
I need it to be from them.
Absolutely.
We're going to end this podcast by putting all of our spooky stories and things that we've talked about and inside of this trash can that's sloshing around with all of the nasty liquids. We're just going to dump it right into the open sink that is AI-generated content. And we're going to let Bing turn out a horror story for us. This is maybe my favorite thing I've ever read in my life.
Do you want me to read this, or do you think you'll be able to make it through reading this?
I want to read it so bad. I want to read it so bad.
You have the floor.
Okay. The title is called The Bunny Man, The Legend of Zelda, and World War II. This is already off to a bad start, isn't it? Link was on a mission to stop Ganondorf from conquering Hyrule with the help of the Nazis. He had infiltrated their base in the Lost Woods, where they were building a portal to the Dark World. He was about to sabotage their machine when he heard a loud scream from outside. He ran to a window and saw a horrifying sight. A man in a bunny hat suit, wielding a bloody axe, was chasing and hacking at the Nazi soldiers. Link recognized him as the Bunny Man, a notorious serial killer who had escaped from a mental asylum and haunted the woods. Link had heard rumors about him, but he never thought he was real. Link decided to use this opportunity to escape, but as he turned around, he saw Ganondorf standing in front of him with a wicked grin. "Well, well, well, look who we have here, the hero of time. You're too late, Link. The portal is all ready. The portal is ready, and soon it will unleash my army of darkness upon this world. And you will be the first to die." Ganondorf raised his hand and shot a blast of dark magic at Link. Link dodged the attack and drew his sword. He knew he had to fight Ganondorf and stop his evil plan. He charged at him with courage and determination, but before he could reach him, he saw a sharp pain in his back. He looked down and saw an axe embedded in his chest. He fell to the ground, gasping for breath. He turned his head and saw the Bunny Man standing over him with a crazed look in his eyes. "Happy Easter, kid," the Bunny Man said and raised his axe for the final blow. The end.